Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Datamatics Global Services Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Prateek Jagtap from EY LLP Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Manav. Good afternoon to all the participants in the call today. Welcome to the Q4 FY25 earnings call of Datamatics Global Services Limited. The results and presentations have been already mailed to you, and it is also available on the website of Datamatics. In case anyone has not received a copy of press release or presentation, please do write to us, and we will be happy to send you all. To take us through the results today and to answer your questions, we have with us the top management of the company, represented by Rahul Kanodia, Vice Chairman and CEO, Ankush Agarwal, SVP and Chief Financial Officer, Mitul Mehta, EVP and Chief Marketing Officer. Rahul will start the call with a brief overview of the quarter on business, which will be then followed by Ankush, who will take us through the financials. Then we will open the floor for Q&A session. I would like to remind you that anything that is said on this call, which gives any outlook for the future or which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you can find on our website. With that said, I now hand over the call to Rahul, sir. Over to you, Rahul, sir.
Thanks, Prateek, and a very warm welcome to all of you, and thank you for joining us for the quarter four FY25 earnings call. I will begin by sharing key strategic highlights from our quarterly and annual performance, after which Ankush will provide a detailed overview of the financials. We will then open the floor for questions. We delivered a steady performance in quarter four FY25 with a revenue of 497.2 crores, which is up 20.5% on a year-on-year basis, and an EBITDA of 74.5 crores, reflecting a 15.3% year-on-year growth. Of course, this includes quarter four revenue contribution from TMQ Tech, which we acquired on the 31st of December 2024. For the full year, we achieved revenues of 1,723.4 crores, representing a year-on-year growth of 11.2% over FY24. On an overall basis, 3% of our growth came from organic performance, and the balance came from acquisitions. This year, we have seen an unexpected dip in volumes from our tax business due to the tax volume shifting to in-house captive centers, and we are seeing some slowness in pipeline velocity and decision-making due to the tariff uncertainties. Going forward, we will continue to focus on our strategic accounts, expand our presence in the U.S. and European markets, and drive cost optimization to achieve this. To achieve this, we are aligning our teams around strategic and key growth accounts. AI remains a cornerstone of our strategy. We believe that AI's transformative potential and remain committed to delivering impactful business outcomes for our customers through our AI-first approach. We are seeing more proof of concepts being done in this space and some of them converting into projects. The board of directors has recommended a final dividend of 5 rupees per share, which translates to 100% of the face value, which is a 5 rupee face value, reaffirming our commitment to shareholders. In closing, I would like to express my sincere gratitude to our employees, customers, partners, and shareholders for the continued trust and support. With that, I'll hand over to Ankush for the financial update.
Thank you, Rahul. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us in quarter four FY25 earnings call. Let me start with financial performance for the quarter four FY25, and then I will take you through the full year FY25 financial performance as well. Our quarter four FY25 revenue stood at rupees 497.2 crore, reflecting growth of 16.8% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Our EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 74.5 crore, reflecting a 36.6% growth compared to previous quarter. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter was 15% compared to 12.8% in the previous quarter. Our EBIT for the quarter stood at rupees 54.5 crore, reflecting a 21.9% growth compared to previous quarter. Our EBIT margin for the quarter was 11% compared to 10.5% in the previous quarter. Our quarter four FY25 performance includes full quarter numbers of TNQ Tech acquired on 31st of December 2024. Our other income for the quarter was 8.1 crore as compared to 10.7 crore in the previous quarter. Decline was due to the utilization of funds for the acquisition, reflecting in lower income from investments. Our PAT after non-controlling interest was at rupees 44.9 crore, down by 39.6% on quarter-on-quarter basis. The decline is due to an exceptional item, one-time gain in quarter 3 FY25. In terms of segment, our digital operations revenue for the quarter was rupees 266.4 crore, which is up by 49.7% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Digital operations EBIT margin was 16.4% for the quarter. Digital technologies revenue for the quarter was rupees 159 crore, which is down by 8.3% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Digital technologies EBIT margin was 1% for the quarter. Digital experiences revenue was 71.7 crore, a decline of 3.3% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Digital experiences EBIT margin was 13.1% for the quarter. Talking about FY25 financials, our revenue stood at rupees 1723.4 crore, reflecting growth of 11.2% on YOY basis. Our EBITDA for the year was 229.3 crore and EBITDA margin was 13.3%. Our EBIT for the year was 181.2 crore and EBIT margin was at 10.5%. PAT after non-controlling interest was at rupees 205 crore and PAT margin was 11.6%. For the financial year, if we see the segment, our digital operations revenue for the year was 785.8 crore, which is up by 13.2% from previous year. Digital operations EBIT margin was 14.9% for the year. Digital technologies revenue for the year was 655.9 crore, which is up by 7.3% from the previous year. Digital technologies EBIT margin was 3.6% for the year. Digital experiences revenue for the year was rupees 281.7 crore, which is up by 15.4% for the previous year. Digital experiences EBIT margin was 14.3% for the year. We continue to maintain a healthy balance sheet. Despite utilization of funds for two acquisitions during the year, our cash and investments net of debt remained strong at rupees 415.3 crore. Our bill DSO was 57 days as of March 2025 as compared to 67 days as of March 2024. In terms of geographical footprint, US remains our largest geography with 54% of the business coming from here, followed by India at 21%, UK and Europe at 15%, and rest of the world at 10%. In terms of industry footprint, technology and consulting was the largest segment for us, which constitutes 26% of the revenue, followed by BFSI, which stood at 21%, then education and publishing stood at 18%, manufacturing and logistics, which stood at 13%, non-profit and non-government organizations at 10%, retail at 8%, and rest of all are 4% of the revenues. Our client concentration remained healthy with top 5, 10 and 20 clients contributing to 20%, 33% and 48% respectively. With this, I will now pass on the call to operator to open the floor for questions. Thank you for your patience and continued interest in Datametrics.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets only while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Mihir Manohar from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for giving the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, a little muffled, but yes.
Is this better?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Sir, lastly, wanted to understand on the digital tech part of the piece. I mean, so when I go through the presentation and through the website, it broadly, I mean, we are doing managed services, Salesforce implementation, Microsoft related work, and automatic fire collection also. If you can throw some light here as to what exactly are we doing here in digital tech? Because the reason I wanted to understand is our margins are in the 4-5% EBIT margin range, 4-6%. So why is it that our EBIT margins are in this band versus when we see for other IT companies, they are in the 11-15% band depending on the company that you select. So just wanted to get a sense as to what are we doing exactly here and how, I mean, why our EBIT margins are in this 4-6% range.
Sure. So if you look at the core IT services, they are in the range of about 15-odd% in EBIT terms. That is impacted for two reasons. One is that all our investments in the product development and the R&D that we're doing in AI is going into this bucket. And the second is the business that we do with automatic fare collection is also not a very healthy margin business, plus it has a large component of hardware. Since we're not a hardware company, it's basically a trading margin that you make on that. So the AFC piece and the investments in products is what is eroding the margins. If you look under the sheets, basically the core IT services is running at about 15% margin.
Okay, so this 15% you are mentioning, what, EBITDA or EBIT?
15% is EBIT.
EBIT, okay. If you can quantify the impact of both this thing, AFC as well as investments, that would be, I mean, so AFC is how large for us? I mean, out of 700 crores of 650 to 700 crores?
Is about 85-90 crores roughly, ballpark.
On a quarterly basis?
No, annual basis. But that's a very low margin.
Understood, sure. Correct. And these investments that you were mentioning about, these are the company-level investments or only the segment-level investments?
So all the investments on technology fit into this. So no matter where in the company we do R&D, all of it comes into the IT bucket.
Okay, understood. Sure, yeah. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. We have our next question from the line of Hemant Shah from Seven Island PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. Could you help me with the revenue contribution of TNQ in Q4?
Yes. TNQ revenue contribution in Q4 is about 74 crores.
74 crores. And for the full year FY25, what would be, when we acquired the company last year?
Yeah, it was 287 or 290.
Okay. And secondly, is there any one-off with respect to this acquisition? In Q3, we had 5 crore of one-off, I think you had mentioned. Is there any one-off in Q4?
One-off expense, you mean?
Yeah, one-off expense.
Yeah, we had a one-off expense for the acquisition of TNQ, which... Ankush, you want to say something?
Yeah. So we had a one-off expense in last quarter, quarter 3, which was for the acquisition. For this quarter, there is nothing as one-off in this quarter.
Okay. So basically, the depreciation and amortization, which has gone up from, say, almost 7 crore to 20 crore, this is going to be the new normal?
So this basically, when we do the acquisition, there is a intangible assets as well which gets generated. So there are two basically intangible assets, the goodwill and the customer contracts. So this is basically amortization of that customer contracts, which will continue for the few quarters, basically, till it is amortized.
Okay, so this includes goodwill amortization as well?
So goodwill is not amortized, only the customer contracts, which we have created. So the 7 crore will continue for few quarters till it is amortized fully.
Could you quantify how many quarters?
It will be roughly over 3 years.
Over 3 years. All right. Okay. So my next question would be, after this TNQ, this is the first full quarter, correct?
Q4 was the full quarter. This will be the first full year.
Yes, FY26 will be the first full year of TNQ numbers, correct? With respect to, I mean, consolidated numbers. So if you see, we have done 1723 crore of top line, and I think TNQ anyway is going to have a top line of 300 crore. So technically, we should do around 1950 crore of sales for going forward in FY26 comfortably without assuming any growth in the normal businesses, including the Lumina as well as Datamatics standalone.
That is correct.
Okay. And where do you see, Rahul, the margin expansion scope? I mean, in terms of digital operations, we have done in Q4 16%. But if you see yearly, it has declined. And even in digital experiences, Q4 has done okay. But yearly, I think it has declined.
Yeah,
and digital technologies, I think, has done really bad margins, I mean, EBITDA margins.
It appears bad because of just the spend that we have, point number one.
Yeah,
and point number two, in technologies, we did have a little bit of a dip in revenue in Q4. Having said that, the measures that we've taken to control costs should show us a significant change across the board. The maximum change should be in the digital technology area that you see. But even in digital experiences, we see an improvement in margin.
So we will see
it in margin improvement, more so in these two pockets, but you'll see it across the board.
Okay. Even in digital operations,
yes,
we will also see some improvement because of TNQ?
That is correct. Partly because of TNQ, partly because of some cost-cutting measures that we've already taken care of.
Okay. So, I mean, if you just analyze this, I mean, for the next year, can we comfortably expect 150 to 200 bips of margin improvement? I'm not talking about the guidance, of course. This is pure mathematics.
Yeah. I expect that.
Okay. Great. And lastly, could you throw some idea on deal wins, Rahul? We have mentioned 4 or 5 deal wins in the presentation. Is the size is about 20 crore annually or below 5 crore annually?
So these new deals or new logos that we win typically always start small and they scale. So there are some very good logos that we've acquired, but they will always start with in the range of $200,000 to $300,000. That's about 1.5 to 2.5 crores. But then they scale depending on how the performance goes. Yeah.
Okay. But is there any deal we have won over, say, 10 crore rupees or
yes,
even higher?
Yes. There are, and there are some in the pipeline as well that we will close hopefully very soon.
Okay, great. So lastly, if you can throw some light on AI-driven revenues in FY25, I think you had mentioned around 40 million in Q3 USD.
40 million of AI?
For the year.
Our total top line roughly is 200 million, so it's 40 million in just pure AI would be very heavy.
Okay. So what would be the AI-driven revenue?
Right now, we are not tracking specific AI-driven revenue because we are injecting AI across the board in multiple areas. So every project is some component of AI that's coming in. So it's very difficult to track a pure AI revenue. Having said that, there have been a few POCs that I mentioned in my address. There are a few pure AI proof of concept projects done, and they are now converting into live projects.
Okay. So every year we spend around 40 to 50 crore with respect to the R&D and the technology spend, right?
That is correct.
Which is going to continue even in 26, 27 as well?
It will continue. We are realigning some of that from some product investments that we were making towards AI. So we are sort of reallocating some capital. But yeah, fundamentally that will continue.
Okay, fair enough. And lastly, sorry to take so many questions. Thank you for this 5 rupees dividend. This is a very good gesture. And just wanted to know, I mean, there is one likewise competitor in the market, in the stock listed space, which is MPS Limited.
Yes.
I mean, if you see the financials of MPS, I think it has steadily grown in terms of volume and even in terms of margins. If you see 3 years back, the size of the company was almost half the size which is today. And the margins have also already expanded from, say, 18% to almost 23-23.5%.
Yes.
I mean, can we see this kind of trajectory with Datamatics Lumina, Rahul? Because we have acquired so many fantastic assets and so many beautiful companies.
Yeah. It would not be correct to compare all of Datamatics with MPS. MPS is one component of what we do. TeamQ, for an example, fits into that space. But there's a lot more than Datamatics. That's point number one. Point number two is that the margins in that space is similar for our division that's into digital content as well as TeamQ. It's similar to MPS. And the third is the growth rate that you've seen in MPS has largely come through acquisitions. It has not been an organic growth. So yeah, if you consider acquisitions, then you will see that. But right now, we've already this year done two acquisitions. So coming financial year, we're not looking at any significant acquisitions.
Okay. But I mean, margin expansion, as you rightly mentioned, around 150 to 200 basis points is on a consolidated basis. Datamatics all inclusive is visible, right? And possible.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. If you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have our next question from the line of Hemant Shah from Seven Islands PMS. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I think it seems a one-on-one call, Rahul. Thank you. Thank you for taking one more question. This is with respect to the interest cost and the debt what we have taken, around 150 crore on the balance sheet in FY25.
Yes.
So how would the fund, I mean, repayment would be doing? And this is for the TeamQ acquisition, I assume.
That is correct. It's for the TeamQ acquisition. See, we are cash rich, so we can pay it out. So I don't think we have any concern from a payment. We will pay it out those from future revenue accruals and profit accruals. That's the plan.
Right.
And it's always good to remain liquid, and that's the reason why we did take some debt.
Okay. No, fair enough. But we'll be repaying it in the next 2 years or so from our internal cash flows?
3 years, Ankush, if I'm not mistaken. 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years. Okay.
We generate on a yearly basis, we are generating almost 200+ crore of operating cash flow. So I think the borrowing is not an issue as of now.
Correct. I think with TeamQ, we can generate even 20%-25% more, Rahul, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So, all right. Fair enough. And I think since it is a one-on-one call, I think you've done a fantastic job.
Thank you.
But as a shareholder, we would like to see margin improvement in all three segments, Rahul.
Yeah.
Technologies, operations, as well as experiences. Since you're spending so much on R&D and automation, I think the fruits are still not visible. I mean, is there any reason or it's the still, I think, the business is asking for more spend?
No, I think the spend in the business will be at a steady state. So it's not asking for increasing the spend. I think now the spend has to be more in some solutions that we take to market. So it's more from a go-to-market kind of a thing. So I am confident that we will see an improvement on the bottom line across the board in this current new financial year.
Okay, because we have, I think, almost spent maybe 250 or 300 crore in the last 5 or 6 years, right?
That's correct.
I think it would not be fair to assume 20% ROI for this investment.
No, some of them have an opportunity, potential to give us some very good returns. So yeah, let's see how that goes.
Okay.
We are still bullish.
Fair enough. No, fair enough. And you mentioned some slowdown in terms of intake of the orders and some slowdown with the U.S. market. I mean, you can throw some light?
Yeah, we are seeing some of our customers go slow or pause some projects given the uncertainties around tariff and given the possible inflation that they are talking about in the U.S. And we also see that impacting the pipeline a little bit. However, in the last week or 2 weeks, we've seen some easing off with the U.S. administration as far as China and Turkey and Syria and Saudi, you know, all these countries that we talk about. So if there's a little, if some of these things settle, then we should see an uptick hopefully soon.
Okay. Fair enough. And lastly, we have 20% of our business from India.
Yes.
So where do you see the potential of Indian market going on? And 20% is almost roughly 350 crore of business.
So India is a tricky one because India is a very good market, but it is a price-sensitive market. So from a growth perspective, India looks good. However, from a margin perspective, India will always be a little compressed.
But do you see the products you are offering? I think no other companies are offering to the MSME sector or maybe a small companies. I mean, do you see that kind of potential? I mean, I think India is growing. I don't know how far the market is growing in terms of the products what you are catering to.
So the products we are selling, we sell in India as well as the Western market. In the Western markets, of course, we get much better margins. And a large part of it is also digital operations, digital operations hopefully will get a flip when we are able to implement some AI solutions. Although having talked about AI, again, right now the pricing structure of AI for India is still a bit of a challenge. The cost is not as cheap as India would like it to be, as a geography that is. Because labor cost is quite cheap here. So once that matures, then we can deploy and try to reduce the cost in India. But right now, the Indian customers are a little wary when it comes to deploying AI because it does not give them a financial gain. It gives them automation, but not necessarily a financial gain.
Right. Fair enough. All right. I mean, thank you for taking all my questions, Rahul. All the best, and I will connect soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have our next question from the line of Reuben Matthews from Equity Intelligence India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just had a quick question. I believe you recently met with Google. I'm just trying to understand how did that meeting go around, and maybe you can give a little bit more. Can you give us some explanation on what exactly would you be doing with Google?
So we had a good meeting with Google. It's about the joint go-to-market. So we are taking some of their solutions, particularly using AI, to the market, and they are taking us to their customer base as well. So it's a joint initiative to deploy AI solutions to the customer base that we have and that they have. Yeah,
okay.
We're building some of the solutions on top of their platform.
Okay, so is that one of the deals that you said that you won, or is it still under discussion?
No, we've not yet closed any deal with Google. Those are still in the pipeline.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Mihir Manohar from Carolinian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for giving the follow-up. Pardon for my ignorance, sir. I broadly wanted to understand this AI investments that we are making in. What are these towards exact to? I mean, I know that we have TrueBot, TrueCap, Lumina, different category of products. So, I mean, these investments that we are making in, what exactly are they to?
So, they are in building these products, and now we've been putting a lot of GenAI into these products. And now we've got something that we're developing is agentic AI. So we are building solutions around agentic AI. So all of that is where the R&D is going. Around the latest technologies around AI, the whole space of AI is moving very, very fast right now. And therefore it needs that we are on our toes
constantly doing R&D and implementing the latest solutions available. So that's, yeah. So these products are around automation, around information and intelligent document processing, extracting and interpreting information, and around business intelligence.
Okay, understood. Sure. I mean, the products, would these products be sufficient itself for us to, in a future revenue generation becoming directly possible only from the sale of products or subscription of products, or will it be a part of managed services and, product type services kind of a thing going ahead?
It is both. It is both. So we are selling these products as licenses, and we are also using these products as part of our managed services. So it's both.
Okay, understood. Out of 1700 crores, how much will be pure product revenue?
So that's a little tough one because we are not, because those that go as part of managed services, we are not able to track that revenue specifically to the product. And the cost of the R&D and product building is all put into the digital technologies bucket. Therefore, you see the technology bucket having a little depressed margin. But yeah.
Understood. So what would be the annual investment that would be towards the agentic AI investment?
That's hard to say. AI in general, AI and all the products together is about 40 to 50 crores. But I can't slice it up, break it up and to give you these slices because there's a lot of interrelationship between them. It's hard to say what is what.
Sure. Second question was on the comment at the start you made. I mean, there was a dip in volumes because of the shift to captive centers. I mean, is this happening in your top 10, top 20 clients? How to see this and how important, how significant is this? Or in which area is this happening?
Yeah, it did take place in some of the, in the top customers. And you see, if you see the top 5 customers that we've had, we see a dip in percentage of revenue that we get. But generally in the industry, one does see a trend towards captive centers, and we see a growth in the captive units and companies preferring to or slowly moving in that direction. However, the current customer base that we have, I'm not seeing too many shifts, so I'm not worried about that. But yeah, some of the larger customers do explore having their own operations in India.
Understood. Sure. Correct. Yeah, that's it for my side. Thank you.
Yeah. Although I do see very often captives and vendors coexisting in an enterprise. So they have a dual model where they do both.
Understood. So this is one. Yeah. It's just one last question. Hello. Should I go ahead?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So this is one last question on this captive centers. We have seen captive centers built up in the last 2-3 years. From a broader, thought process perspective, from an industry perspective. I mean, when does captive sector start getting importance versus outsourced players? I mean, at what stage of industry does that happen? How does the industry evolution happen? Just wanted to understand that. Is it that when a new technology comes in, people tend to have more of captive sector and slowly, gradually, eventually, as and when it gets more used, it starts shifting to outsourcing? How does that happen?
No, so there's no pattern in the industry, and we've seen it across the board. Large companies have captives, which they've divested. Small companies have started captives. So it's all over. There's no pattern as such. Typically, they don't do it for new technology. New technology is easier with vendors because vendors service many more customers and therefore more exposed to technology. So that is certainly not a trigger. But there's no pattern in the industry as to who is inclined to go with a captive versus who's inclined to go with a vendor.
Okay, understood. And this, the captive center shift which we saw, this was in BFSI or tech and consulting part of the piece?
BFSI.
Okay, understood. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Sahil Jain from Enigma Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, so sir, with the increase in TMQ revenues, will we see a shift in the geographic concentration? Like, will the US and the Europe concentration increase from the pie?
You will see, and you have seen some of it already, but yes, you will see that piece increasing more in Europe than in the US because Datamatics' ratio in the US and TMQ's ratio in the US is roughly the same. So you won't see too much impact on the US. But yes, you'll see a growth in Europe.
So that will automatically get transferred into higher margins, right? From what we are currently doing in digital.
That is correct.
Understood, sir. And sir, what can you just give an outlook of how the Dextera business is performing? Is there any sort of tariff impact or anything that is affecting that business?
No tariff impact on that. I think that the whole tech and BPO industry is right now insulated from the tariff wars. You never know what comes in the future, but as of now, I think it's okay. Dextera has been a little soft in performance, but this year we should have an uptake. In fact, I mentioned in the last call that we have got 5 logos from Datamatics customer base where we successfully cross-sold Salesforce services.
Understood. That was all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and 1. A reminder to all participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and 1. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and 1. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everybody for being on this earnings call for the year ending 24-25. I look forward to talking to you once again as we enter the new year in the next quarter. Thanks once again for your time with us.
Thank you. On behalf of Datamatics Global Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.